VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And despite all odds, it is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
We're sitting here in my tidy, I use that term very loosely, little home office that has pretty much room for two people and not much more, but through the magic of technology, we are on landlines into the office, and Adam and Alan are communicating through Microsoft, and we will get your calls and take everything we can take. I will apologize in advance if we have any glitches, but if we do, just try again. I was listening to Angela and Howard, and their presentation went very well, and had they not said anything, it's very possible that you wouldn't even have known that our studios are closed and we are not allowed in them due to the obvious viral problem that's going around, the problem that went viral. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Regulars, thanks for being here all the time. You're the reason we do this, and you're also the reason that when we were notified this week that there would be no show because of the studio, we fought back and said, unacceptable, we're going to figure out how to do this because we owe it to you, we promise to you, and we will live up to that every time it's humanly possible.
But so, we have to thank the station for putting this together because they did an amazing job of coming up with a backup plan right away.
They didn't dilly-dally.
No, it was on our first request, and we're very happy to be here today. So thank you to everyone who made it possible.
Yeah, and now all that said, the show must go on, as I say. And despite my better judgment, I guess, I feel like we have to talk about the market. My opinion as of Thursday was that this was kind of playing itself out and would just sort of settle in and the worst was over and all those things. Then came Friday, and I was proving myself right when I woke up early in the morning and the futures were up about 800 points. I watched there for a couple hours before the market opening as that dwindled down to about 250. But it opened up green and it went up to about 400 points, and then some other stuff happened. And at that point, I'm going to turn it over to Adam because I don't want to talk about the rest of the day.
Well, the thing is, we don't have a market right now. The trading right now is pretty much meaningless because it's not, nobody knows what the outcome of this situation is going to be. So doing a discounted cash flow model on a company that with so many variables that are unknown, it's impossible. You cannot get it right. There's just the right now trading is on fear, panic, flight to safety, you name it.
Computerized bots.
Yeah, there's no rational way to value the market right now, and that's very apparent. So there's really just no way that you can make money because we saw 8 days in a row of 4% moves up and down in the S&P 500, and that has never happened before. We're seeing this is uncharted territory, but the fact is, eventually, there will be a known solution to this problem. We will know more. We will know the end date, per se. This is not going to go on forever, and at that point, trading and rational markets can resume, but until then, we're not going to have anything that resembles rationality, and this might be a hedge fund's dream, all this volatility, but it is a long-term investor's nightmare, and it's going to continue to be for a little while there's as much uncertainty as there is. And there's really almost nothing you can do to guarantee safety or that you'll make money, but the fact is we know we will get out of this on the other side, and you just can't. I mean, right now I'm not looking at my own account. I know it's going to come back. I'm happy that I'm putting in my monthly 401k deposits and getting my dividends reinvested, and we're getting everything at 30% off or more. So that's the strategy right now is to stay the course, and you have to have faith that we'll get out of this because I know we will.
What's the biggest mistake anybody could make Monday?
Sell, sell, sell.
You got it. We got to bite the bullet. I wish, you know, hindsight being 2020, I wish that we had been informed somehow of how bad this could get
but it was weeks and weeks into the problem by the time we were even notified of there being a problem, and that kind of caught us flat-footed until it was just too late. The old saying that it's not a good idea to try to catch a falling knife, well, this knife is falling pretty hard. But there's also the U's and the V's theory. The U theory says if it goes down into a nice slope and bottoms out along the bottom for a while and then gently slides up and forms the other half of the U, that is a typical downturn. The other kind is the V-shaped, and we have formed the V on the way down about as sharply as it could happen. This whole thing's taken less than a month, and it would normally take hundreds of days to get where we are. So not always. Nothing's for always. Nothing's guaranteed. But generally speaking, when you've got a V coming down, the turnabout is abrupt and up sharply. Now, we won't recognize it right away. Nobody will recognize it right away. But it's so far down that if you miss the first 10% and then it starts looking better and you work your way back in slowly, dollar cost your way back in, if you're out or just adding new money, then you could probably look forward to a fairly large swing over the next year or so. I do not see this as a long-term problem yet. There are certainly reasons why that could become so. And in fact, at 9:30, right after the 9:30 break, you're going to want to hear what I have to say about that, I'm sure. Don't tune out, because there's some things that we need to be very careful of if we want to get out of this thing alive and well, which we do, and I think we will. But I'm just adding a little cautionary tale down there that has nothing to do with the market.
And 9:30 would be, for those of you on Central Time, 10:30 if you're in Jacksonville.
Oh, is it 10:30 in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
All right. I know why I missed that, because I didn't have to get in the car and drive.
That's right. There is some good news coming out of this. I've been spending a lot of time analyzing the data from the World Health Organization. It actually it comes from Johns Hopkins. They've been aggregating it. They have a great website. I've posted it on our website, and you can see and track the cases that are new cases around the world by country, and then people who have unfortunately passed away, and then people who have recovered from this particular disease. And it's really interesting what we're seeing. If you look at net new cases in China, they are declining, and in fact they now have less than 6,200 active cases, down from a peak of over 60,000. The South Korea is another country that was hit relatively early. They have over 50 million people living in South Korea, and they've kept their total cases under 9,000 by a strong social distancing and testing program. They tested everybody. They had drive-through testing, I believe, over a month ago, and they really managed to keep their numbers down by doing that. So there is some possible good news out there, and we're on the front edge of the curve while other countries are on the back edge of the bell curve.
And I don't know how many people have heard this yet, but Kenny Rogers died.
I saw that.
For those of us who are of a certain age, he was kind of an icon. But it kind of reminds me right now of him when I think of what made him famous. And I consider the line, you got to know when to hold him, no one to fold him.
And all right.
I think we need to hold him.
We have Captain Dave on the line, but we'll get to him right
okay.
After this break.
That is very good. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanley Financial Hour, and our timing might be off a couple of words, but we'll see you right after the break. Welcome back to the Vanley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanley.
And I'm Adam Vanley.
And we have a trivia question, as we so often do, thanks to Mr. Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. We have seen a lot of the largest point moves in history, up and down, in the Dow and the S&P, just over the last month. But we have not seen the biggest percentage gain during that time. In what year was the largest percentage gain ever recorded by the Dow, or by the S&P, excuse me? What year the best percentage gain in one day? All right, can we pick up Captain Dave?
Hey, guys.
There, we got him. See, this technology's going cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. I was wondering, you know, they're about to print 10 times 10 to the 12th dollars, which is an astounding number.
Yeah, too big for comprehension.
When you, inflation and security stuff like TIPS or S-TIPS.
Well, they've been jumping around like all bonds are right now, but it has a lot less to do with inflation expectation than it has to do with the interest rates that just collapsed. So you got a dual component with the TIPS, and the newly issued ones are going to have a lower coupon on them, but the inflation expectation should be higher than it is right now, in my opinion. But I gauge that largely on oil and precious metals. And look what happened to those markets over the last week or so. So I think inflation in the short run, the expectation is probably for none to declining, and therefore I would not buy TIPS right now. But when we get back on our feet and oil does something that looks more like 35 or 40, then you probably start seeing a change in TIPS. You agree with my assessment?
Yeah, I was thinking, down the line, when this all shakes out and this $1 trillion comes home to roost, it might be a good time to be in something inflation protected.
Yeah, it's 100% based on the velocity of that newly printed money. When they did it in the financial crisis, it didn't circulate. They put it in banks for reserves, so it didn't spike inflation as one might have thought it should.
I think this might be a similar scenario, though.
I think it might be, too. That's what I'm getting at.
How can it move when an economy isn't moving?
Exactly. So I think
the concept
is good.
So much for the guys who thought that if you had a pocket full of gold, you can go around and buy some toilet paper. I don't think that's the case.
It's weird, though, isn't it? I know the dollar's had a flight to everywhere up and down, but generally it's been riding up, and that, of course, depresses the price of gold a little. But it shouldn't depress it like it's been depressed for the last 3 weeks. There should be a fear factor in the price of gold, and it's just not there.
Well, maybe people have figured that, wait a minute, all right, so I got some Krugerrands or whatever the heck I got. What am I going to do with them?
Are you going to put them in a safe and wait for things to go completely haywire so nobody will take anything else, I guess?
The only thing that's there right now is cash is king. Everybody's in cash.
Yep. That is exactly what's happening. And when they pounce, I consider the Wall Street score lately, computers one, people zero. So people better be ready to act, because when the computers act, it moves quickly.
Well, that's the thing. The thing is, this is not, I heard the D word out there a couple times, but there really can't be a run on the bank because there's no greenbacks around. What are greenbacks?
It's not, this is a wonderful life and this isn't the Bailey building and loan. You're right. Everybody's got money they need, but it's all put up in their charge cards.
That's right. As long as I hand them that Visa and it works when I tap it and I get something for it, I guess that's money.
Yep, the hardest thing is going to be these next 10, 12 days, whatever, when they're limiting our ability to do things, and that's what my little diatribe will be about at 10:30, as I'm reminded. And,
I will be listening.
Okay, good. I like your idea. I'm going to be keeping an eye on them because, I love TIPS. I always have, and I like to play with them a little bit, meaning I hold them for a 5 or 6 year period and then be out for a year or two. It's nothing short term. It's just long term based on what it looks like is going to happen in society. And if you miscall it, just wait a while. You'll get it back.
Yep. All right, guys. Take care.
Take care of yourself, Captain Dave. Appreciate the call. Okay. Want to wrap up anything else on this crazy market?
Yeah, it's interesting. There is a portion of this economy that is going to not miss a beat, and there's really, the market is not pricing that in.
Does it start like A?
It's
an Amazon?
Oh, well, that is one thing for sure. Online, well, this is how bad the panic level is. There are retailers who have shut down their online sales because of this virus. TJ Maxx is not selling online right now. That's one that I know of. I know there's others, because they were worried about their warehouse workers coming into work. I don't think that makes any sense.
Maybe I think that the actual reason might be different. Maybe they just don't have the infrastructure to deal with this type of thing. But it just doesn't make sense to me why online sales would go away. That's one area of the economy that should be absolutely booming right now.
Amazon's hiring 100,000 people.
And Walmart, I believe, is hiring a bunch of people as well for their online.
And some others.
So there are a lot of signs that this reaction is being overblown right now. And that, to me, is one of the major ones. The other part is that if your job might go away, right, temporarily or perhaps permanently, but you still have to pay rent, you still have to pay utilities, you still have to pay AT&T for your cell phone bill or whoever you use, your entertainment budget is going to go way down, but everything else is a fixed cost. I don't know that the market is properly pricing that in right now. So you've got all these people at home, and the summer months are coming. You're still going to be running your air conditioning. You're still going to be paying your utility bill. I don't know that. I know the market is usually very efficient, but it also tends to overreact in the short run in both directions. So I think that there might be – that's just another sign to me that this reaction is not yet rationally pricing in what is going to happen in this country in this year.
And did you see what Amazon was telling people? They said, come and apply. First off, you're going to get $2 more than their 15
right.
normal. They're going to pay them $2 more during this thing. But we need you now. But when your job comes back, then we won't need you anymore.
Okay.
So just go into Amazon, work. I don't know if it'll be 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months or whatever. But then if you want to go back to your old job, just tell Amazon and go leave.
Or you can become a Shipt shopper. You can work for DoorDash. You can work for Grubhub. There are jobs that are actually demand is increasing in now Uber Eats. Now, the Uber side of things
I don't like at all.
But the Uber Eats side is definitely going
Perfect.
To have increased demand. In fact, we've made it a point that we are going to order from local restaurants at least a couple times a week just to put some money into the economy instead of going out to eat at home, but meals prepared elsewhere.
Convenient, too.
Yeah, that's also true. So
they're not shutting down the kitchens of the world. They're shutting down the dining rooms.
Yeah, so waitresses, waiters, bartenders, obviously out of work right now. Those type of people could look at some of these other careers that don't require a lot of training. And you can go and apply today, and there's a real need for people to do these types of things. The other part of it is healthcare. I think that healthcare is going to be experiencing, I don't want to call it boom times because that's not right, but the people are needed right now in healthcare that are not available. They already were before all this happened, and demand is only going to go up. So if you're a nursing student right now, graduating soon, there's not going to be a shortage of jobs for you.
Yeah, and there's going to be some technology winners along the way, too, as we redo things. For instance, the telehealth market, that's going to be a big thing.
We have another couple of callers on the line.
Okay.
If we have time, let's pick up George.
Yeah, good morning. Friends of mine talking back and forth about what's going on, and the question always comes up, are we in a recession or a depression or what? Can you explain the difference?
Sure. Recession is when your neighbor's out of work, and a depression is when you're out of work.
That's what we've heard, yes.
Yeah. The recession is technically defined as the two consecutive quarters of negative GDP change, and it takes a long time to understand whether or not you're actually in one. I have never seen a concise definition of the depression, but I would say that it would have to go on for an extended period of time.
Right. Even 2008 to 2009 and beyond was not classified as a depression.
Yeah, it wasn't bad enough, so they just called it the Great Recession.
Right.
Which I thought was actually very clever.
Yeah, but I'm not clear on what the technical definition is either.
No, I've never seen. Maybe we've got a couple computers sitting here. Maybe we'll look it up and see if there is one during the break at the bottom of the hour. But basically, the technical definition of the recession is stuck at two quarters of negative GDP.
And we haven't had that.
We are definitely going to see it. I think it's inevitable, but I also think by the time we know it for sure, meaning in late July and August, we might be out of it.
Later than that, probably.
We might already be out of it at that point. So.
Which is not atypical. Many recessions aren't identified until they're gone. So I hope we've answered your question. Well, if we learn anything about a technical definition of a depression, we will get to it right after the break. But we've got to run.
Thank you.
The music is playing. Thanks, George. Appreciate the call. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Chuck has dropped off the line, but I did want to say, Chuck, if you get a chance and you want to call back in, please do. We're not all that disorganized, despite having done things a little differently today, but it seems to be going along pretty well. And I did want to say to a couple of past winners of trivia questions, no, we have not forgotten you. Like everything else, procuring certain items right now is taking a little bit longer than we thought it would, but you are not forgotten. So, anyway, I did want to say a few words, and these are my words, nobody else. And it's about a concern that I have watching what's going on right now. And if anybody disagrees with me, I respect your opinion, no matter how much we might disagree. And I go way back in the study of economics, and the way I learned it in my earliest years was that the study of economics was defined as allocation of scarce resources. Well, the choice that was used from all of my early economics teachers was guns and butter. And the classic argument in Congress and so on, you got a limited amount of resources, and half of the country wants to buy guns, and half of the country wants to buy butter. And the economics of the thing was trying to figure out how to make that trade-off. Well, then about 107 years ago or so, a lot changed. The Federal Reserve was birthed in secret up in Jekyll Island. Its purpose was to not tell us necessarily, but to change that question from guns or butter to guns and butter. Suddenly, we could have it all now because the Fed could just create money at will. And it's been downhill ever since. Many of you remember when Ronald Reagan said that the most dangerous words in the world were, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Unfortunately, the recent coronavirus scare brought out some interesting behavior in our elected classes in D.C., and worse yet is that it's trickling down now to state and local governments. Understanding and accepting that coronavirus is dangerous, as we do and as everyone does, and especially for people in my age group, I am more opposed, perhaps, to the power usurpation being exercised by some state governors, including California, a Democrat, and Ohio, a Republican. So it's not a party line thing. There are many others also, you know who you are. Ordering arbitrary and blanket closings of schools may seem a little acceptable for most of us because of the obvious public health risks, but the blanket shutdown of restaurants, bars, and other socially oriented establishments, to me, crosses the line. In Texas, no blanket school closings have been called. We've got to have a caller?
Chuck is back.
Okay, I am going to interrupt this message because the rule of the show, and I made the rules, says that callers first. So, hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm going to do a different take this week. I know we're all hurting financially in every way, but you know, the thing that the government is not talking about, not even Dr. Fauci, is how to build up your immune system so you're less vulnerable to this. And there's three doctors. There's a dozen doctors I follow on YouTube, but I'll name three. Dr. Eric Berg, who's got 3 million followers. Dr. Stephen Gundry, he's a cardiologist. He's done 10,000 heart surgeries. And then Dr. John Bergman. Those three doctors have been doing videos left and right over the last few weeks on how to build up your immune system so you're less vulnerable to getting the symptoms of the virus. And I think that's the most helpful thing I can offer today.
I think you're exactly right, because the more you shelter yourself, the more you filter your air and so on, the weaker you get. I heard a pretty good dissertation from one of the doctors this morning on that very item, that you do yourself no favors by never going outside and never being anywhere where other people exist. You're just supposed to stay 6 feet away. But, yes, it's a very good point. Taking care of yourself doesn't mean hiding in a cubbyhole.
Mm-hmm. There's so much great information on YouTube if you just look for it. And, you know, people can't... I'm not worried about coronavirus. You know, my biggest concern, I told my wife today, is I can't find a gym. I can't work out.
Right.
And when I can't work out, I feel miserable. And all the gyms are closed.
Yeah, absolutely true. And now some of them... we're showing they're going to block every other machine so that you're one away from anybody. I thought, well, that's one of the smartest things I've ever seen. But then the government stepped in, and that's what I'm talking about in my little spiel today. So it's scary, very scary.
I had to hang up earlier because I was in line at Costco. There was 100 people, and 100 people to get into the store before it opened, and they let everybody in. They didn't. You know, limit it to 20 or 50. And then when I got out of Costco, there was a whole line, another 100 people waiting to get in. It was it was extremely busy.
Yeah, people are going off the deep end here, which is, I guess, a normal human reaction. But it's a shame it's got to go away.
I also wonder how much of this panic buying that we're seeing with toilet paper and other items is just caused by the media telling everyone that other people are panic buying, and therefore you feel this great need to go out and get things before they're gone, when in reality the supply chains are stressed because of the panic buying, not for any other reason.
Johnny Carson did it in the 70s or 80s, I can't remember which, and as a joke, he said that there was a shortage of toilet paper, and by noon the next day there was. Everybody ran out first thing in the morning and stocked up. And the supply chain isn't meant for that.
I keep a close eye on a particular medication I take when it dries up on Amazon. Then I start panic buying, and I went into Costco to order it, a 3 or 4 month supply. What a lot of people don't realize is that 80% of our medications are sourced overseas, mostly in China and India. And you know, so if you're low on medication, you need to order it now.
If you're looking for a silver lining in this mess that we're in right now, it's going to be that there's going to be a lot more resourcing, repatriation of manufacturing in things like that that are considered vital to our national interest.
Yeah, if you have investments in China right now, I would think twice about keeping those. China is going to be the big loser out of this whole thing.
And then they should be.
They deserve it at this point, I agree, but just I would not invest in China right at the moment.
No. And I don't care if they dual source them, as long as there's capacity here that in a pinch could be beefed up to do 100%. Dual sourcing just makes sense to me, that we've gotten away from that as we've gotten away from the concept of manufacturing, and it's coming back. So there will be some good news out of this, no doubt about it.
You know, another thing is, on the market, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to Fibonacci retracement levels, but I'm beginning to believe that maybe we're going to get that 50% retracement on the S&P 500 that a few people on Fast Money have been talking about. What do you guys think?
It's very possible.
I'm not going to make any predictions about the market today.
We missed the prediction when we were first asked 6 weeks ago, and I'm becoming less and less willing to stick my neck out. I do predict one thing. This will pass.
What I will tell you is that in my own personal account, I went 100% stocks this week. Because
yeah, we've been lightning bonds.
Firmly believe in the U.S. economy and its ability to bounce back. I might be early on doing that, but honestly, I don't care.
I want to capture 100% of the recovery when it happens, and I believe it will happen. I just don't know when.
And everybody should remember that he's coming from a much younger viewpoint than I am.
I have a long working career ahead of me, so
it's circumstantial.
Yeah.
Has to do with a lot of factors like your age and your risk tolerance, but I think it's a very sound philosophy right now. Bonds are up and down all over the place, but stocks are just down. The index is down about 30%, but the average stock is down 35%, which means there's some bargains out there, and if you're even close to right, those bargains are going to get nothing but better. So, keep the faith, my friend. I appreciate your call, and we will
you
talk
too.
Soon. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a little break, and I'm going to get back into this. I did want to mention... there was a quote by Steve Moore on Fox on Thursday that I picked up this week, and he said, economics is not complicated. Now, it's almost enough to make you laugh on his face because it can be, but he was talking about simple things like supply and demand and how crazy some of these discussions about getting money into people's hands were. Watching Congress, I'm going to finish this up after the break, but watching Congress is not something that makes the average person feel a great deal of warm fuzzies. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape, and you can call Troy at 662-9794. I was talking about various and sundry things, like decision-making at the various levels of government. In Texas, they don't shut down the schools in Texas from the state level. They like to make their decisions down at the lowest level of government, meaning right down to the school board or even the school level. I think states have a lot to learn from Texas. Excuse me. As Americans, our Bill of Rights gives us certain freedoms, including life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And pursuing happiness can take place at some public places. Usurping these freedoms cannot be taken lightly, as once government assumes the new and dangerous powers, if they're not opposed, they will use their newfound powers again and again. Each exercise of the ill-gotten powers will require less justification for them in the name of keeping us safe and doing it for the children. It's like the balloon. If you blow it up a few times, every time you blow it up, it gets easier. We reserve the right as Americans to take on personal risk on an individual basis. It is limited. We can't drive 100 miles an hour through our neighborhoods and can't shout fire in a crowded theater. But we may leave our homes to spend times at our local eateries or brew pubs. We can go to the shooting range for practice. We can go to the beach. We can own cars of our choice and all of that. Sports. Okay, that is being infringed upon. And that said, we have another caller, and the rules apply. So who have we got?
Pat.
All right, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. What's cooking?
Well, I don't know. I'm listening to you all, so
well,
I guess
that's
good.
Thing. Good
yes,
way
it
to
is.
Invest in an hour of your time.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Crestie is pretty good.
What's that?
Crestie is doing fine.
Good.
Good.
Wonderful.
I'd like to guess at the trivia.
Shoot.
Question. March 15, 1933.
And why would you come up with a date so far in the past? I'm curious.
Because I looked it up, and it said that 16.61% was the highest increase.
Did you look around it? Did you see the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and like that?
They were a little bit lower.
Yeah, out of the top 10, six of them took place in the period 1929 to 1939. So if you think volatility is bad now, we got a long ways to go.
Yep, you're right.
And then it wasn't just the down days either. If you look at the other side of the graph, some of the biggest up days were exactly in that time frame too.
Exactly. Yep. I looked at it. I didn't commit it to memory, but I looked at it. Was impressed though.
Yeah. Well, good for you, and you are on our list. As soon as we get prizes, we'll ship them out.
Yeah.
Okay,
might be,
not a problem.
A few weeks, but we will get it out.
Yeah, we keep good records.
Not a problem. I hope things are going well for you all.
Thanks so much. You know, people are in unusually good moods considering what we're going through right now. And that's the one thing that we've been noticing for several days.
Yep. And I agree with you all about the immune system. You know, you just can't isolate yourself. So,
Nope.
You're right. Okay. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. Well, in my opinion, and this is, again, just my opinion, the fundamental American freedoms are dying the death of a million paper cuts, and I worry about it. It is important to remember now, as the Congress is meeting today and hope to sign something tomorrow, that they're going to have a bailout in this thing that is going to create, as Captain Dave was saying, more money out of thin air than you can possibly imagine. It is important to remember for all of us that governments can print money. Governments cannot print wealth. Wealth is made by people. People going to work. People doing what makes them tick, buying things, making things, selling things. When they are restricted and they are replaced by government printing presses, this is not a very good harbinger of things to come economically. What to do about it? It's very, very difficult. A lot of you remember the stimulus plan under Obama. It was hundreds of billions of dollars, and virtually nothing took place. I looked up the signage costs for all these shovel-ready projects that had been promised, some of which actually got started anyway. They spent $192 million on signage. Our roads are still full of potholes. Most of our bridges need work. Airports are run down. And I have never seen even one department of the federal government that has offered a believable accounting of what their stimulus program expenditures were. In fact, I'll bet some of those signs are still litter on the highways and byways of America. So my question is it different this time? And I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to let the public think for itself on that one. My gosh, we can all hope so, though. I do not have underlying motives. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, at least not a big one, and that sort of thing. And I do understand that there are problems out there and that people are dying. But it concerns me that we pay so much attention to this and we basically neglect the basic influenza. That deserves, for the foreseeable future, a lot more attention than we're giving it. And I hope people use this as a learning experience. Meanwhile, some wonderful stores like Publix and Winn-Dixie are offering to us older folks. You can go in there a couple mornings a week early. In fact, Sarah and I went to Winn-Dixie yesterday morning, and they were senior only from 8 to 9. People were nice and friendly. The shelves are getting restocked. They clean overnight, and everybody there was in a really fine mood. So Publix is doing that now on Tuesday and Thursday from 7 to 8, and that includes the Publix pharmacy for those of you who deal with them as we do. So there are things being done that are a lot more practical than just shutting everything down. Now, I don't know how long any of these things are going to last. I don't know what month it's going to be that we forget the coronavirus. We kind of got over the bird flu and swine flu and Ebola and all the other stuff. But this one could be less, could be more, I'm not sure. But as to investors, we are causing a great deal of volatility, as we know, but it's been worse. All right, who's up next?
Leroy.
Leroy, what's cooking?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just wanted to call in. I saw some positive news this morning. There was a gentleman just talking about Costco not long ago. They posted on their website, you cannot return toilet paper, paper towels, water, and certain sanitary supplies.
Yeah, I saw that. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah, you paid all the money for this thing? I told Sarah, just park your van or pickup truck right outside of Costco's parking lot and sell it for a markup.
Yeah, you buy it, you own it.
All right,
I'll let you guys go. Hey, enjoy your show.
All right, okay. Appreciate it. There's actually a lot of good news coming out of right now. You wouldn't know it if you watch the actual news, but if you know where to look, there is good news. Right now in Florida, They've tested just under 7,400 people for this virus. And if just to go get tested, you have to be showing certain symptoms or be you have to have traveled, or there are certain risk factors associated with who is allowed to get tests because we don't have enough tests yet. Of the 7,400 tests, 5,710 were negative, 1,000 are pending, and right now we have 563 cases in Florida. 17 of those are in Duval County. So there's a much larger percentage of cases down in Miami, in Dade and Broward counties, and even Palm Beach. A little bit of a cluster in Tampa and a little bit in Orlando. Duval
places
right
with
now,
international airports.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Not surprisingly, Miami would be, and much higher population densities.
Yes, true.
So, but the fact is, out of the population that thought they might have it, only 563 out of 7,400 actually have it. And the death rate in the United States is much, much lower than what we're seeing in Italy and what we initially saw in China. It's right around 1.3%, which is still much higher than the seasonal flu. But it isn't the 4% that Italy was seeing and China were seeing initially. So those are both positives. There's more positive news. Lots of people doing good things in their community, spending money locally to keep people employed. Those are the kind of things we like to stress at times like these.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to serve anybody well to get too frightened by all of this. If you cannot find supplies, then ask your friends if you can get a little help from them, and somebody will figure it out. And the supply chains are changing day after day. So we can get through it. It won't be any fun, but it's not going to be anything that's going to put us under as far as I'm concerned. So we will be back next week, very possibly sitting in these same chairs from my little home office. I don't know when all this is going to get to the point where we can get back in to the studio, but we will be here nonetheless, as live as always.